We're in the 19th parak of Maseilas Yesharim, continuing the Chelkei Chasidus, and the section we're about to begin, he calls it Anaf HaShlishi, the third branch, Huakina, is serving Hashem with kina, and in this context it means with zeal. Shiyeh Odom Mikane L'Shem Kodesho. A person should be zealous for Hashem's holy name, sonei es misanov, to hate those who hate Hashem chas v'shalom, mishdad lachniyam ashayuchal, and strive to humble them whatever he can, in order to make sure Hashem's avodah is done and his covet is increased. For Masha'amar David, olav ashalom, David HaMelech writes this in Tehillim, halom misanecha Hashem esna. Those who hate you, Hashem, I hate. U biskomemecha eskotot. Those who stand up against you, I will fight with. Tachlis sinus and asim. Belio Amar. We have a pasuk in Sefer Malachim. Kano kinesi Hashem tzevakos. That I was zealous for Hashem. The kfar inu. The mazoichem bavur kenas to the kav. We find the merit that accrues to someone who is zealous for Hashem. K'mayim ha'kosar. The pasuk says tachlis asher kinei to the kav. V'chaper b'nei Yisrael, Pinchas, who was mekane, he was zealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, and he brought about an atonement to Klal Yisrael, and Hashem gave him Brisi Shalom. V'hefligu chachmei Zechon V'ocho, Achachamim explain in great detail the daber b'misha yish b'yad alimchus v'enimocha, how terrible it is when someone has the ability to protest and does not do so. V'goz v'dinu l'tafes b'avon achotim atzmo, and the decree of his judgment is to be punished as if he himself sinned what other people did. He didn't do this at all. He witnessed crimes, he witnessed Averis, and he didn't do the Averis, but he said nothing about it. He had the ability to protest, and he did not do so. Because he had the ability to protest and did not do so, he is also going to be punished like those who sinned. Their leaders were like ayolim. In time of the heat, the ayol, this type of animal, turns its head away from each other. At the time of the churban, that was the problem of the gedolim. They saw sins, they saw crimes, and they turned their face away. The Baruch Hu said, "Tavo hashol." The time will come, and I'll do the exact same thing. Hashem will turn his head away. It's obvious that someone who loves someone else, you can't stand to sit by and watch if someone beats the person you love or disgraces that person. Without doubt, you'll go to aid that person that you love. So too, someone who loves Ribbono Shel Olam, he can't bear to watch Chil Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, people who violate his mitzvahs. V'Mashal Shlomo, Shlomo writes, Oizvei Torah Yehalu Rosho, V'Shomei Torah Yisgoroba. Those who have left the Torah will praise the Rosho. Those who keep and guard the Torah will rebuke them. Those who praise the Rasha when he does things bad and they don't openly rebuke him for his misdeed, these people forsake the Torah. They leave it to become defiled. But those who guard the Torah to strengthen it and keep it, they'll certainly engage and argue with them, rebuke them. They will not stand quietly and silently. Spread out your anger and see those that are arrogant and put them down. Those who are arrogant, you should humble. V'hadoch Rishom tachtom, and stamp the Rishom beneath them. Tom neim be'ofer yachad p'neim chavosh ba'tamun. they should be buried in dirt, hidden away. This is the strength of the love that you display when you love Hashem, your creator, or his creator, in truth. Those who love Hashem hate Ra. So the Ramchal tells us that there's an element of Hasidus that's displayed through this kin'ah, this zeal. And this kin'ah is standing up for its right and rebuking those who do wrong, not sitting idle by Chil Hashem, responding to those who are chas v'shalom making Chil Hashem to try to preserve the Kavod Shemayim. He begins by telling us that there are psukim that describe this concept of hating those who hate Hashem. Now, we know that v'ahavta re'acha kamoicha is, according to the Gemara, a basis, foundation for all our mitzvahs, everything we do. And yet, there are these psukim that David HaMelech is talking about sinah. The pasuk says, it's also to hate your brother. You cannot hate your brother in your heart. The Gemara goes on to say, but what if you see someone do a chet? What if you see someone wrong? You're also not supposed to hate him. You have a mitzvah to love him. So there's a line that people say that you love the person, you hate his actions. You don't hate the person, you hate his actions. I haven't quite figured that out, what that means. David HaMelech didn't say those who hate Hashem hate their actions. And the Gemara says that when the Torah instructs us on the issue of sisnas achicha b'chavecha, it has to be achicha, someone who's achicha b'mitzvahs. If you see someone doing a chet, that person is a sone. Person who will openly do a chet, so you're not supposed to like that person. He did something he's not supposed to do. If he doesn't know that it's wrong, if he's unaware that it's aser, of course there's no mitzvah of sinah. We're talking about people who know that it's wrong. They know they're not supposed to do it. And they don't care. And they're not embarrassed about it. And they do it openly. So for those people, you have to distance yourself from those people. And the Gemara says that that's fine. Now, you have to give tochacha. Maybe the person didn't realize. So you have to go over and tell them, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And if the person says, I know it's wrong, I don't care, doesn't mean anything to me, so okay, that's that. But if you never gave tochacha, then you don't have the right to have this sinah, because he may not realize it's wrong. He may not realize that he's not supposed to do this. So only talking about a case when the violator is fully aware of his actions, and the one who witnesses knows that the person is aware of his actions. And on that kind of person, the Gemara says, you don't have no mitzvah of lo sisna sechicha b'levecha. There's no iser lo sisna. That person you could keep away from. Even v'hafta re'acha kamocha. The pasuk is l're'acha. The re'acha kamocha is someone who behaves the way he's supposed to behave. If he doesn't behave the way he's supposed to behave, you don't have that mitzvah of ava. Again, if he's clueless, he's unaware, he doesn't know, no one ever gave him tochacha, no one ever taught him, fine, that's one thing. But if someone is aware and he knows, and nonetheless he doesn't care about Kavod Shemayim, so that's where David HaMelech says that Misanecha Hashem Esno, Tacha Sinna Sinesim. So it's not that many people. It's not that many people he's talking about. We're talking about people who know that it's wrong, they don't care that it's wrong, and they do it anyway. But But those who are unaware, those who don't know, those who weren't taught, how do you hate them? They have no idea of doing anything wrong in the first place. They don't realize that this is against the Torah. They don't realize it might be a Chilul Hashem. And then the Ramchal says, we have a tremendous obligation to teach, to show, to let people know that this is wrong. So it's a terrible thing. If a person has the ability to stop something and he doesn't, then he is culpable. I know in the world at large, this idea is getting traction in the world of bullying, that if you witness someone bullying someone else, they want people around to step up and tell the bully that that's wrong and you can't do that and so on. Stand up for the victims. And there's a lot of work being done to try to minimize that behavior if people around will step up. If no one talks, no one looks that way, no one, everyone turns the other way, so to speak, no one cares, no one's anything, then they're responsible too, they're just as bad. So he's just as bad. He's nitfas b'yisof. The Gemara says that Rav Chanina ben Tradyan is one of the 10 Harugi Malchus, and the Gemara says that the reason that he suffered a terrible death, wrapped in Sefer Torah and wool that was wet and set on fire, he used to teach Torah in public and he would say Hashem's name. Say Hashem's name the way it's written, not the way we say it. And he wasn't supposed to do that. That was inappropriate, the Gemara says. And the Mela, this happened. And the Gemara says that his wife was also punished. And the question is, what did she do wrong? He was the one who was darshaning with Hashem's name. His wife wasn't doing that. And the answer is, she should have spoken up. She knew her husband was doing this, and it was wrong, and she should have told him. That's not right. You shouldn't do that. And the Gemara says, she's punished. Now, you have to understand, Chaim HaTzar is a Godel HaDor. He's not a regular person. He's a great, great person. And the Gemara still says his wife should have told him that, no, that's not the right thing to do. And the fact that she didn't, so she also suffered a terrible punishment. Which means that this halacha of kol mishvesha limchas v'ena moicha is not just the responsibility of the leaders of the generation who witness things going wrong, that they have an obligation to speak up and make a point that the people should stop. Because the Medrash in Eicha that Ramchal brings addresses the Gedol Yisrael. The Gedol Yisrael saw people doing things wrong and they turned their heads away. And Hashem said, okay, I'm going to do the same thing, Kav Yochel. But you see from the Gemara B'chinu Tzai, this is not just a halacha by Gedol Yisrael, who are leaders of the generation, who have a responsibility to the generation. On every level, this applies to people who have the ability to stop things that are wrong, that they have to act, and they have to respond, and they have to speak up. And it's in the house. If a parent sees a child doing something they shouldn't do, they have to speak up. If a spouse sees the other spouse doing something wrong, they also have to speak up. So you can ask a question, well, what about shalom bayis? Isn't shalom bayis important? What kind of shalom bayis is going to be if the husband is constantly rebuking the wife and the wife's constantly rebuking the husband? Well, it might not be such good shalom bayis unless they know how to give tochacha properly. And that's a challenge. How to give tochacha properly. If someone gives tochacha properly, it probably will not interfere with shalom bayis. What is the proper way to be meicher? So again, if it's Gedol Yisrael, I don't know, they'll get up, make a kinos, gathering of people, make a speech, give a drasha, tell everyone that this is what you got to do, and so on, this is wrong, this is right. But when you're one-on-one, how does it work to give tochacha that is effective? The fact of the matter is, most people are immediately on the defensive. If someone suggests you're doing something wrong, your reaction is typically to get defensive and angry and upset, and who do you think you are, and on and on and on, it goes like that. There are some great people who are oyhev tochachos. There's a madrega of being oyhev tochachos. There's a madrega of great people who love rebuke because they understand that this is in my best interest. And if I can improve myself, then I have everything to gain. So there are people who are so appreciative. Thank you so much. I'm glad you pointed that out to me. I really appreciate that you told me that. That's not usually what happens. When you give someone a rebuke, that's not usually the response you get. Some people are on that madriga. Some people are on a higher level, and that's the response. But most people do not respond that way. So what is an effective way to give tochacha? Now, the Gemara does say in Erechin that people don't know how to give tochacha. It's like almost a given. We don't know how to give tochacha. And it's unfortunate because it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It's like, are we going to say we'll take the mitzvah and throw it out? Are we only have 6:12. Because we can't do the 6:13, we can't do tochacha. We can't say that. So what is the key to effective tochacha? And I'm sure you've heard this before, that the real point of tochacha has to come from the heart, that you care about the person to whom you are giving tochacha. When you care about the person who you are rebuking, and the person knows that you care about them, then they may listen to you. And I once heard that the only way to effectively give tochacha is if before you ever had to give tochacha, you gave them 100 compliments. For every rebuke, there has to be 100 compliments. If this person knows you appreciate them, if this person knows you care about them, this person knows that you think they're great, and then one time has to let you know, I really think that this thing you did, whatever, they have a better chance of listening. But if all you do is harp on them, they're not going to listen. I also heard this in the context of employers and employees. If a boss does not compliment his employees, they're not going to listen when he criticizes them either. If you constantly encourage them and compliment them, then every now and then you have to give a criticism, you give a criticism. But if all they get from you is criticism, that's not going to work too well. So if you're going to talk to someone to give tochacha, they have to know that you care about them. And if they know that you love them and that you care about them and you have their best interests at mind, there's a chance they're going to listen. There's a chance they're going to listen. One of the things that we suggest is that if the person indeed is on a higher level than this behavior, to say it like that. You know, someone of your stature, it's not right for you. It's just not befitting who you are to say that, to do that. Not that you're putting the person down. You're lifting the person up. You're an important person. You're this, you're that. This thing you're doing doesn't fit into the scheme of things of what you're doing. And if you express to the person that you value them, that they're important to you, that they are good people, and that this behavior, this action is inconsistent with everything else, there's a better chance they're going to listen than if you just say, you act like a goy, and that's not how you behave, and I was once talking to a father. He calls me up. He is very agitated and upset about the way his daughter dresses. He says his daughter's skirts are too short. And I told her, you're an embarrassment to the family when you go out that way. And it's a disgrace. How can I go to shul if you walk the streets the way you go? And I said to him, you think she's going to listen to you when you tell her that? You're telling her that she has to change the way she dresses because you're embarrassed for your sake. That's not how you get someone to change. You tell your daughter, you're such a good person and you want a good shidduch. Don't you want to wear your skirt a little longer for yourself? But the minute you tune it for you, it's for me. I'm embarrassed by the way you dress. So that's going to really encourage her to dress differently? That's going to motivate her to change the way she dresses because you're embarrassed? If you tell her that, you know, you're such a good person and you daven so nicely and everything else, it's just not consistent with who you are. It doesn't fit into the picture of who you are. You're a very good person, so why is this Christian? It doesn't make sense. That's different than saying, I'm embarrassed by the way you dress. And a lot of people don't get it. I think a lot of people do that to their kids. They say, or even to their spouses, I'm embarrassed of you. So that's going to encourage them. You care about yourself. You don't care about them. Who do you care about? When you go to someone and say, you embarrass me in public, so who are you concerned about? Concerned about your own embarrassment? How you feel? How you're looked at? That's not how you motivate someone to do something different. And unfortunately, a lot of people speak like that. That's how they talk, and that's how they give tochacha, and I think it's very ineffective, and probably detrimental, and it hurts shalom bias and everything else. It can't be about the mochiach. It has to be about the person you're talking to. That for you, this doesn't make sense. For you, it's not kedai. For you, it's not worthwhile. It's not beneficial. It's not good for you. The minute you say, well, how are your sisters going to get a shidduch if you dress this way? That you're supposed to convince me to dress differently because of what might happen to my sisters? That doesn't make sense. So even if you're thinking it, you can't say it. You can't say it. The point of tochacha is to guide a person to self-improvement, and putting them down is not going to get them, and showing how it affects you isn't going to get it. You have to show how it's better for them. You want to sell somebody something, you got to show what's it going to do for them. How is this going to help that person? Then you have a chance to make a sale. Otherwise, can you imagine a salesperson, buy this product because I get a big commission if you buy it. You convince me to buy it now because he'll get a big commission. You have to tell him what it'll do for you. It'll do this and that. Maybe it's worth it to spend the money. It's not about the one who's making the pitch. It's the one you're talking to. Do you care about the person? Do you want them to be the best they can be? And you show them how, for them, this is worthwhile. For them, this is kedai. If you approach it that way, then you have a possibility of making an impact. If you read a tzaddik in a time, you see a lot of that. Have Ari Levine interacted with people who are not that careful with halacha, religion? He lifted them up. They wanted for themselves to be close to him, which meant, by definition, to be a better person. They wanted to be better because he cared about them. And if he cares about me, then I should behave differently. It's a subtle way of guiding somebody, but it's much more effective than putting them down, insulting them, explaining how we're embarrassed of them. That's not an effective way of transmitting a tochacha. When it comes to Gedolei Yisrael, so there's more like a global statement they'll make, don't do this, this is wrong, we got to improve this, we got to avoid certain things. So that's more of like it's an impersonal direction they're giving people. But if it's one-on-one, you have to think long and hard about how to convey a message to somebody that it's in their best interest to change their behavior, change the things that they're doing. And then the Ramchal goes on to explain where this fits into Hasidus. Because obviously, if you love somebody, you're not going to stand idle when they are being embarrassed or disgraced. You're going to help them out. And so too by the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you see this happening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how can you stand by? And therefore, you have to respond. So, is Ramchal telling us that if you see Chas V'Shalom, someone driving a car on Shabbos, you should pelt the car with rocks and scream Shabbos? Because how can you stand by idly when you see the Ribbono Shel Olam who you love and they're driving on Shabbos? So of course the answer is no. You don't pelt the car with rocks. You don't scream Shabbos because, again, this is when someone knows what they're doing is wrong. Someone is trained and they're aware and they learned and they don't care. If that was the case, yeah, go pelt the car with rocks. But when the person has no idea, the person is clueless, they never learned, they never had chinuch, no one ever explained to them, no one ever talked about it, then you're not going to make convince them to keep Shabbos by throwing rocks at their car. So the idea of being upset, leman kavod shemayim, you could be upset, but Chovas Lavavis writes, there's a level of tochocha called tochocha b'leiv. It should always bother you. Even if you don't throw the rock, it should bother you. If it doesn't bother you, there's a problem. You see someone driving a car on Shabbos, a yid, it should bother you. Throwing rocks is not going to help. You're not going to throw a rock. But you shouldn't be numb to it. It shouldn't be meanest to you. The Chavos always writes, sometimes you're mochiach biyad, sometimes bepet, sometimes belief. It's just in your heart. You're upset that this is happening on Shabbos for kavod shemayim. But you can't do anything about it. You don't have a good response. Which leads to another question. So how do we determine when to make a public outcry at things that we see going on around us and when we don't? When do we make a public mecha or not? In the world of Agudas Yisrael, there are occasions when the Aguda will take an ad, a page in New York Times and write a protest against something going on in the conservative or reform world. And other times they do not. So what is the determining factor? When do you make a machal like that to take out a full page in New York Times and when don't you take out a full page in New York Times? So I was told, it shots like this. There are many things that Jews who are not Torah-abiding Jews will do that are wrong, and we should protest, but we don't take out ads in the paper. It's a machal belief. But the Gedolei Yisrael who guide Aguda say as follows. When the other segments of Jewry will take the Torah and pervert it to support their crimes and sins and different way of looking at the world, then we have to take out an ad to defend the covenant of the Torah. So if there's a law up in New York for same-gender marriage, and conservative takes out an ad to say the Torah sanctions it, that's great, this is exactly what the Torah wants, then the Aguda is forced to take out a full page ad and say it's not what the Torah says. That is not what the Torah wants. If they wouldn't do that, we're not going to say anything. They could darshan it in their temples, and the Aguda is not going to make a public statement. But if they're going to say, this is what the Torah says, if they're going to pervert the words of the Chumash to say this is okay, then the Aguda feels that they must, the Gedolim who guide them, say you have to respond. You can't allow them to take the Torah and twist it from the Emes and publicize a corrupt version of the Torah. You have a responsibility to set the record straight. That's not what the Torah says. This is what the Torah says. Now, whether people listen to that good or not is a different issue, but that's not the point. The point is, when do you make such a macha? When do you make a public statement? You make a public statement when they take the Torah and they twist it from its true meaning. So it's happened here in our community too. Things have gone on in certain temples that the Torah of Jewry and the community are upset with. And someone calls me, you have to make an ad, and this is no, we're not taking an ad, not an ad, why not? So I explained, you only take an ad when they do something wrong and they defend it and explain it with the Torah. So then you have a job to say they're misreading the Torah. That's not what the Torah says. But if they do things you're not supposed to do, do things the Torah says is usur, and they support it and they embrace it and think it's great, so they're misguided. They're misguided on lots of things. So we don't take out ads because of all the things that they're misguided about. It's only when they use the Torah to support their deviant concepts and behaviors, then we have to say that's not what the Torah says. then it's our responsibility to stand up for the kavod. It turns out it's not correct. That's not accurate. But if they're not using the Torah, just they embrace deviancies and things like that, so good. That's their business. So everything else is krum anyway. We don't take ads just because they do things that are krum. So I think that is an approach. That's an approach to understand when we step up and when we don't. Like the Ramchal just is poshut. You see someone trample on kavod shemayim, you have to make a stand. So again, the policy of the Aguda, the Gedolei Mitzvos Gedolei Torah, is if they use Torah to twist it to say that which the Torah is against, then we have to stand up and say that's not what the Torah says. That is not an accurate portrayal of what the Torah and Teresh Baal Peh says. And that's the responsibility to stand up for Torah. But if they're not using Torah, but they do all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing, we're not going to make a public mechor for each and every one of the things that they do that they're not supposed to do. The final thing he brings is Oyev Hashem Sin Ura. Those who love Hashem, if you really love Hashem, then you can't take Ra. So, by great people who love Hashem, they can't stand any Ra. The Ra isn't just Beirat Mamakom, it's Beirat Machavero. Injustice bothers them. Anything that's Ra and is corrupt is abhorrent. It's the antithesis of anything about them. And what does the Chumash tell us? When Avraham Avinu was confronted with Sodom, Avraham is an Oyev Hashem. Pasuk says so. Oyev Hashem sinu ra. He hates ra. Avraham Avinu couldn't stand what's going on in Sodom. So what does he do about it? He davens. He davens that Sodom should be spared. And he davens that Sodom should do tshuva. He doesn't daven that Sodom should be destroyed. Oyev Hashem sinu ra, they should do tshuva. They should be better. And this is the Gemara. The Rav Meir had people in his community that didn't behave properly, the Biryonim. And he wanted to daven to get rid of them. And his wife said, Beruah said, no. Yitamu chatoyim min ha'aretz, not chotim min ha'aretz. Daven, they should do tshuva. And the Gemara says he did, and they did. Instead of davening that they should be destroyed, he davened they should do tshuva. And it was effective. It was effective. They turned around. There was a leader of Egypt in the 60s. His name was Nasser. And he wanted to drive all the Jews of Israel into the sea. He would say it publicly. We're going to kill all the Jews in Israel. We're going to drive them into the Mediterranean. Not one will survive. And he would rally the people and gather his armies and prepare for war leading up to the Six-Day War. It was a terrifying time in Eretz Yisrael, surrounded by enemies, and at that time it was a much smaller place. And he is publicly declaring they're going to drive the Jews into the sea. So they went to Bar Levine and said, you're a big tzaddik. Curse him. Give him a kalala, he'll drop dead. You're a very powerful man. Give him a kalala, and that'll be the end of him. And if Avraham Avinu said, I can't give him a kalala. I can't do that. I can daven he should do tshuva. That I can do. So that's an Oyev Hashem sin ura. Oyev Hashem sin ura. He loves Hashem. Avraham Avinu was an unbelievable person. But he can't give a kalala to a rasha. He'll daven, he should do tshuva. He'll daven, he should do tshuva. That's the tzaddik perspective. The tzaddik hates ra. It doesn't mean he's going to curse it. It doesn't mean he's going to daven that those who do ra should die. He'll daven, they should do tshuva. He'll daven, they should improve. That's the tzaddik's approach. And these are very, very high madrigas of chassidus. It's part of chassidus to be on this level. But the bottom line is, we should realize that we do have a mitzvah to try to help others and guide them to do the right thing, in our own families and the people around us and coworkers and people we're involved with and our communities and the like. And sometimes we can't do anything. If we can't do anything, then you have mechah b'lev. At least in your heart, you should express that this is wrong and I wish I could do something. But you shouldn't be numb to it. It shouldn't be like nothing to you, because that shows a lack of kavod shamayim. Because if it doesn't bother you at all that these things go on, that means there's something wrong in your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's only natural that if you love Hashem, that those who don't care about Hashem and behave in such a way, that should be distressing and disturbing to you. So if you can't make an actual mechah, then at least in your heart you should know and think to yourself that this is wrong, and you wish they wouldn't be doing those kind of things.